Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Yo, what is good? We are back 2 weeks in a row, Mike.
One more week, that'd be called a winning streak.
Oh, that I thought it was just also.
I think the winning streak starts at 3. 2 is like a back to back, but 3 is a winning streak.
I was though. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Back to backs. I'm Dude Pods. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Arts and Network is the home. I am JR Bang. That is Mike B. Make sure you follow us on everything at Some Dude Pod. What's good?
What's good with it?
Did you listen to the rest of
them? Now listen, you know, I didn't do my homework. I forgot, actually. I'm going to put that on my, I'm going to listen to him in the morning. I'm going to check him out. In the morning, I'll report back next week about LaRussell.
I think you might.
No, he signed to Roc Nation. I got to see what some of the hype is about. Okay,
Can you just sign that because you do good business?
I don't think Jay-Z would just sign this man he gotta have some type of talent, regardless of the song that he put out and the controversy around it. I want to hear the talent that led up to that.
I mean, Mike, I feel you.
Before the controversy. I want to hear the music before the controversy.
Okay. That's cool.
That's what I'm going to do. I'll skim through it. But
I'm about to say, no, I feel you, but you hear, you see how people get signed. Like, you hear some of the.
Yeah, but I'll do my due diligence, man, and check them out. Bro. I'll give them a fair shot.
Like, people don't be cold, man. People don't be nice. You know, they
gotta be something there.
They sell some records, they get some streams. You know, they get popular on TikTok. And folks are like, you know what? Let's go ahead and give them a deal. Then they can't sell oranges from a fruit basket. You know? But Mitchell F. Check, what's good?
Feeling much better this week. I'm all right, man. Feeling good, feeling great. Can't complain. I got to take a drive this week, 4-hour drive. My daughter's bowling in the tournament this weekend in Belleville. Okay, you might be familiar with this town. So it's a town right next to St. Louis. Is it Belleville?
Bellevue or something like that.
Belleville.
It's on the Illinois side.
It's on the Illinois side, but it's literally right next to St. Louis, though.
I'm not familiar with the town like that, but I do. But like East St. Louis and those towns right there, they're basically St. Louis, Missouri. They're basically like the suburbs or connection to St. Louis, Missouri.
That's about, what is that? That's about a 4-hour drive, right?
Yes, so, that's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah, I got to do that. I got to drive 4 hours this weekend. So I'm not looking forward to that. But and then 2 weeks after that, I got to drive 4 more hours to Detroit because she's bowling in another tournament in Detroit. So, you know, the driving gets like this around. This is like tournament season time. So not high school bowling time. So tournament season, you know, she has tournaments. And then, you know, summertime will be Minneapolis. That'll be for a week. When that gets closer to the date, I have an incredible story that I'm going to share about a journey that I'm going to take while I'm in Minneapolis to the Jay-Z concert.
You mean what?
That's why I said closer. That's for another pod. Don't even worry about it.
Hold on. Minneapolis and the Jay-Z.
Exactly. Okay, so I'll give you a quick preview, but we won't talk about it.
Yeah, give me a quick preview.
All right, so Jay-Z announced that he was doing Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium. He's doing Yankee Stadium July 10th, 11th, 12th.
Yep.
So 3 days. I'll be in Minneapolis that weekend, I will be there already preparing my daughter for a national tournament. I plan, but the turn, she doesn't start bowling until the following Monday. So she'll be there in preparation. But I'm going to fly to New York from Minneapolis on that Saturday because I'm going to go to the Saturday show. I'm going to the Saturday show. I have tickets to the Saturday show, the Blueprint show. I'm going to fly to me.
I don't have that money.
No. I'm going to fly to Minneapolis the day of the show, and I'm going to fly to New York. I'm driving to Minneapolis. We're driving to Minneapolis. So I'm going to be in Minneapolis already. I'm going to catch a flight from Minneapolis to New York the day of the Jay-Z show, and I'm going to fly right back Sunday morning. I'm going to go right back to the airport. LaGuardia is 15 minutes from Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Hey.
But we'll get into that closer to
We definitely will. Planes, trains, and automobiles. Mike about to go on this hip hop version of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
This is a crazy, like, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I gotta say F them kids for one day.
Hey.
And then go right to, you know, handle some business, and I'll be right back.
Hey, look. I count that as the power of just having one kid. Because everybody that I know that has, okay, let's move away from the people that don't have kids.
Yeah.
I salute all of y'all with one kid doing all of this.
Yeah.
See, I can't take Trey to a bowling tournament in Minnesota without having Liam Landon with me.
For sure.
And I just can't leave Miriam and be like, yo, I'm about to go to New York real quick.
This is crazy. It's crazy.
Hey, look, man, look.
It's gonna make for a great pod. That story time is gonna be incredible.
I'm so proud. You know what I'm saying? I am.
That story time is gonna be incredible.
So proud, Mike.
I can't wait to tell that story.
Y'all,
yeah.
Of y'all being able to do such extraordinary things.
To maneuver around, you know what I'm saying? Hey. You could too, Bang. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just gotta hire a nanny or something.
Okay. What? Bruh. As I charge you. Man, you hire a who?
A nanny.
What? Nah, you look, look. As I just said, more power to you. Mental health check on my end. I'm good.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'm good.
Did I lose you, Bang? I think I lost him. Okay, we good. I hear you talking. I can't hear you, though.
Can you hear me?
Can hear you now. You good.
Let me make sure. There we go. Had a good meeting with the team and everything, and got some stuff straightened out and everything. Mental health check, you know, just trying to get some things in order. We're trying to so we can move around and everything, but nah, this is, things are good. You know, I want to say, like, things are good. I had mentioned last week, I was talking about Fred, like my homie who had passed away and everything, and like still, like, just like thinking about things, cause, like, my hip is killing me right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my hip killing me, Jack.
Hip replacement?
Not booting for no, we ain't doing that. No, we ain't talking about that shit.
Yeah, I would hope you wouldn't have to come.
Man, we ain't saying that shit. Nah.
Yeah.
So I talked about it on this pod before. Y'all got to go deep in the archives, but it was one day that I was in Maryland when we was living in Maryland. It was an ice storm, and I went to work and I slipped and fell on the ice.
Yeah,
and I landed on my left hip. And it hurt it for a minute, but it didn't hurt for a minute. Now it's really just like off and on.
Okay.
Well, it kicked up a notch these last couple of weeks. It is, man.
So since you failed, you've always had that lingering pain in your
hip. It's like off and on. And this past week, it's been kicking my ass. Like, I just walked upstairs and just came back. Like, it was tough walking up them stairs. Like, I ain't gonna front. It's kicking my ass, and last night that shit shot to my foot. It has been kicking my ass. So honestly, I just been thinking more about health shit than anything else. Like, I mean, I know it's the hip and that. Like, what? I'm gonna say this again. Don't go to WebMD and try to read, like, diagnose yourself or, like, find out what's going on, because they'd be like, yo, and plus your phones and shit be listening to you. I went on my phone the other day, and there was an article that said that shoulder pain might be different than what you think. It could mean liver cancer. And I kid you not, my shoulder was hurting. That.
You just see my face, bro? Talking about right now.
What are we talking about here? Like, now my shoulder hurt. Now I got to worry about what's going on with my liver, my hip. I start looking up stuff, and they was like, yo, diabetes. It's like, I know I got it. So you trying to tell me my hip is hurting because I got diabetes? Like, what are we talking about here? So then you start going down the rabbit hole, and you be like, yo, all of these things, damn, I'm about to die.
You try to put the pieces together.
Today. Shit. You start, don't go to WebMD if you feel anything. Just go to the emergency room or go to urgent care or whatever, or just wait till you go to your doctor. I got an appointment with the doctor next month. If it gets worse than what it is right now and it be hurting, I don't be sleeping good. I don't be sleeping good at all. So if it gets anything worse than what it is, then I bet. But yeah, don't go to WebMD and try to diagnose yourself or try to find out what's going on. You will die.
Yeah. Anytime I hear, you know, people say they have hip pain, you know, I automatically think, oh shit, you need a hip replacement.
I
know that's not, you know.
Let me make an admission here, Mike.
Yeah.
I hate going to the doctor for limbs and knees and stuff like that, because I feel like they're going to tell me the same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you just lose some weight and then, you know, all of this will be over with. Nigga, how? Okay, first of all, my knee hurt, my hip hurt. So I got to get the fat surgery because what are we doing here? You gonna recommend me getting the gastric bypass and then I can start losing some weight? And that thing, because my knee and you can't just say lose some weight and your hip and your knee will be great when you got to go through the pain just to get it done and stuff too. And it's not like I eat heavy on a lot of things and stuff. No Taco Tuesday. After that, I'm eating straight. So, and I do move around. I do work out, not every day, but I work out enough. So don't tell me just lose weight. Give me something other than pills to fix this right here. When I had the issue where Landon ran out the house and I chased after him and I felt something pop in my knee, I just knew my meniscus was done. Everybody who I talked to said, that sounds like a torn meniscus to me. I get the x-ray. I get the call. I go to the doctor. The doctor basically just says, oh yeah, your knee's fine. You got a little bit of rubbing between your ligaments, but you just got to lose some weight. So fuck you mean I got to just, that's it? Oh, yeah. You just got to lose some weight. I'll give you something so you could go do some, what's that? When they work out your shit, what's that? And they help you out, what's that? No.
What are you referring to?
Like when you're down. And,
therapy?
Yeah, so physical
therapy. Physical therapy.
Yeah, that's how much I need to give a fuck. Them motherfuckers, like, he's like, yo, I'll refer you to a physical therapist. There's one right downstairs from you. All right, you have a nice day. So you mean to tell me I just paid $500 for this MRI, $50 for this, for you to just say this, and you just go tell me, have a nice day? Mm-hmm. That's why when this shit like hip, knee, elbow, I'll work myself through it. Because I feel like they're going to tell me the same thing. You fat. Why do I need to pay you a copay for you to tell me I'm fat? Huh? My hip hurt. My knee hurt. What's going on, doc? Let's do this MRI. Insurance got half, you got the other half. Pay that joint.
When you go to the doctor, is this like a family doctor? Like a doctor that you always go to? Like
this doctor here is the entire family doctor. Dude be like, yo, how's your dad? Your mom was here the other day. Man, hey, I asked him where you was at. How you doing? Hey, I told you, your dad told me this. And like this doctor here, he's cool as hell. Like he cool as hell. But I ain't really went to him with ligament or like, I ain't went to him with this shit. But when I was in Maryland, like the story I just told was true. I'm in Maryland, heard something in my knee pop, go get an MRI. I come back after the results are there. He said, you got to lose some weight. You're too fat. Just lose some weight.
Yeah.
I have a nice day. I said, that's it? Yeah, we'll get you some physical therapy. But other than that, have a nice day. And I was like, whoa, like it was so anticlimactic. It was so like disappointing. I was like, the only thing you told me, I was too fat.
Hard truth right there.
I mean, yeah, it was a hard truth. Mike, all right, so you know what? That comment.
My fault.
But it's like, damn, you could have just saved me the $50 at this point. You already got $500. Yeah. Y'all got $500. You could have saved me that $50 copay. You could just call me on the phone. It's like, hey, fam, you fat. So just lose some weight. You want some physical therapy? I got you. So that's why I don't want to be, I don't be wanting to go to the doctor for those things, because I don't want nobody to say, you fat.
Yeah.
And I don't want nobody, I don't want to have to pay somebody to tell me I'm fat. I know I'm fat.
Okay.
See, now my, now mental health has went down. Cause now I'm sitting up here yelling about I'm hurt, but I don't want the doctor to just be like, you fat. Cause that's all they're going to say.
Oh man.
And everything. So
the stretch, we wake up, hip, this, do the, hit the little, what you call it? What's this? The little torso.
I got the little massager gun and shit. I be do.
Yeah.
It's all that shit. But no, that shit hurt. Shit hurt. You're not going. I have a high pain threshold.
You got some Tiger Bomb? You got Tiger Bomb?
I got to get me. You know what? I should have got Tiger Bomb instead of the Icy Hot.
Get some Tiger. Really.
But Tiger Bomb. Oh, I miss Tiger Bomb.
Tiger Bomb do that shit, boy. That's
don't make the mistake of rubbing Tiger Balm on your nuts, though, when you got, you trying to lotion up and shit. Fucking Tiger Balm.
Bro, what?
Whoa, what the fuck just happened?
Would you try to hit the what? The groin area? You know what I'm saying?
I put the Tiger Balm on before I put the lotion on.
It's crazy.
And then my whole lower body was on fire.
Yes, man. Tiger Balm, let me throw the lotion right on top of it. Man, what's
now,
dirty?
Now, one mistake I did make when I was on the cruise, what was this, 2 years ago, is that the body was aching, so I put some ICI on, and I forgot we was docking. So we docked in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And I had Icy Hot on my knee in hot Jamaica. Nick, my goddamn knee was, boy. Yoga flame. That shit was on fire, Jack.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, I gotta get back to the boat, fam. I got back up in that boat and then I got up in the shower and it made it worse. I never forgot. Yeah, that did. But that's neither here nor there. Some dude pod. Thank y'all for tuning in. Make sure you tell a friend. Tell a friend. Share the live screen. Yo, we live. Television rewatches. So I don't think I mentioned on the last episode that me and Miriam had rewatched Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And she didn't watch it when everybody was watching it, and you know, I started watching it late.
I still have to get to that. I haven't gotten
yeah.
to that.
Yeah, I started watching it late and shit and that thing, but she wasn't gonna watch it. A lot of blood and guts and that thing, but you know, shouts out to her for actually rewatching it with me. And she actually enjoyed it. I would dare to say loved it. No, she enjoyed it and everything. And it got me to want to watch old content, like old shows again. So it was an old show that was on Fox called Sliders. It came out like 1995, 1996. I loved that show, but I never watched the whole thing. Jerry O'Connell is the lead on the show. That's the little fat kid from Stand By Me. And he was on that talk show to talk for a minute. He married to old girl that's on X-Men. Rebecca Romaine Stamos, I think.
Yeah.
They married to each other or whatever. I think they still married, but I loved that show as a shorty. Yeah. But I stopped watching it maybe like midway season two, going outside a little bit more, playing football and that thing. And it just totally just flew off the map. But it's on Peacock. Mm-hmm. And actually, shouts out to Peacock. Mm-hmm. Because I was going to go watch another episode again because I just finished season one and now I'm at season two, episode three. And Three's Company is on that joint. And I had jokingly put on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, like, yo, what old show would you like try to watch? And I threw one out there, Three's Company. Because I used to watch Three's Company as a, you know, as a shorty. My mom would be like, yo, go watch this and all my children and all this shit. So I love Three's Company. Jack Tripper is one of the homies, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Larry, Freak Man Larry, always thirsty. They used to go kick it at the Regal Beagle. You know what I'm saying? You know, Suzanne Summers was definitely, you know, for the culture, for us. And everything, Mr. Roper, and all of a sudden, Mr. Furley, love Three's Company. But I never watched the first episode, and I don't even know how these joints went. So I actually watched the first episode just like right before the pod. Didn't even realize that how this dude got into the house is, I guess he was over their house for a party. Somebody had to go on away party and he fell asleep in the tub. And they needed to replace the roommate that was leaving.
Yeah.
And they replaced him with him, but Mr. Roper thought he was gay. And the only way he was gonna let him rent, he wasn't.
This is Three's Company? This is Three's Company.
Yes, Three's Company.
Go ahead.
Have you ever watched the episode of Three's Company?
I don't think I watched Three's Company.
Oh man, Mike, you tripping. Your family should have had you watch Three's Company.
I'm pretty sure my OG and my OWN probably watched Three's
Company. They probably
did. I'm sure they
probably. But see, I'm older than you, so that shit probably wasn't coming on at like Channel 32.
Yeah.
This shit. I know you've done some rewatches. Yeah. Or watched for the first times. I remember you watching Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, the first time I watched that show was a great experience. Everybody that kept telling me about the show, like I was tagging y'all in my Facebook posts about, like, I was giving y'all updates while I was watching the show. So I was behind on Sons of Anarchy, and I won't even rewatch that one time since I originally.
Oh, you rewatched it?
I rewatched it maybe like a year or two ago. I think I rewatched it, and it was It was just as great as the first time.
Is there a show, maybe it's a show that your OGs used to watch, or is it a show that you maybe didn't see, or you saw and will rewatch again?
And so, you know what? What's crazy is that, like when I scroll TikTok, G, my For You page tells me everything about me. And, you know, kind of like knows me and like goes back into time and like in my brain. So I don't know, for whatever reason, this is kind of corny, but Boy Meets World clips have been popping up on my For You page. And I've actually like watched them. Like I sit there, I watch the clip and I'll be like, damn, I think I kind of want to watch this. This is recently, like the past couple weeks.
Shit.
Boy Meets World, I'm probably going to have to go on Disney Plus, and I might have to run that back.
Did you watch Girl Meets World with Sabrina Carpenter?
No. That's the spinoff of Boy Meets World?
That's the spinoff of
Boy Meets World. And that's Sabrina Carpenter? That's Sabrina Carpenter?
Yep.
Today years old.
Yeah, she's Ben Savage's daughter. Wait. And Topanga's, like, yeah.
So that...
Ain't that right, Miriam? Yeah, that's their daughter. That's the Panda and dude daughter.
You, yeah, I know that. Yeah. So she did that before singing.
Yes, or you know, she Disney kids and all that shit. So
I had
doing the low indie show.
No idea.
As she sing the grown shit.
I probably won't watch that, but I will watch Boy Meets World. Shout out to Sabrina Carpenter, but I'm probably not gonna watch that. But
you know what my favorite episode of Boy Meets World is? The Vader episodes, man. Oh, Vader, yeah. Oh man, when Vader was a little man, he had all of them scared, and they was like, first of all, I used to watch Boy Meets World when it came on. Mm-hmm. But those episodes where Vader popped up, those was definitely my favorite episodes. But Boy Meets World,
I think that might be, something I might, you know, indulge in on a rewatch, just because, like I told you, man, TikTok, when you scroll TikTok, my For You page just be bringing up like my past. And I'll be like, look, man, I'm probably gonna have to rewatch this. So I looked on Disney Plus, and they got all the seasons on there. So I might have to go ahead and just quick little run on that one. We'll see.
Now but, you got me thinking.
That would be a that would be the first thing I would probably be watching.
Now you got me thinking, because like I'm probably gonna continue this Three's Company thing, and it's a flat pass because it's a 30-minute show. Yeah. So you know, it's probably gonna be like 24 minutes every episode. I tried to do a step by step rewatch.
Okay. So I would do that too. I would try to watch step by step.
I didn't realize until watching it how adult that show was.
Mm-hmm.
Like them first couple of episodes, and it's funny because I'm just saying another Suzanne Summers show, Three's Company and Step by Step. So take that as you whatever you want. But them first couple of episodes, hun and old dude, they was all over each other. And then now you got two families coming into the house. And Step by Step is probably where a lot of stepmom content came from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that stepmom content, if you know what I'm talking about, was kind of content. I don't think that come from the Brady Bunch and stuff. If you watch the first couple of episodes of Step by Step, you start looking and going, hey, they acting real grown on this show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They acting real grown on this show. But thinking about this as we're talking about this, I probably will go the cartoon route. And I'm
trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain N and the Game Masters.
Who?
You ain't never seen Captain N and the Game Masters?
What network that came out, man?
My boy, yeah, you was younger than me. Captain N and the Game Masters was a cartoon that came on NBC in the morning, fam. It was like a Saturday morning cartoon. And basically, it was this little white boy who gets sucked in the TV playing Nintendo, him and his dog. So now he is teaming up with all of the good Nintendo characters going up against all of the bad Nintendo characters. So it was like Metroid and a couple of other characters. And he's fighting with them to go up against like the characters on other joints. I used to love that cartoon. Mm-hmm. And then it just disappeared. And I was like, yo, where's Captain N and the Game Masters? It used to come on right before Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
I think that's somewhere on one of these streaming apps that I got. I'm going to watch it.
I'm pretty sure. Once you Google it, it's going to tell you where you can watch it at.
But then there's another reason why I want to watch it, though, Mike. Because these kids in my house don't watch cartoons like that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Brian. He had the glove. Keep talking, Mike. I got to charge this up.
Oh, no. He said that your kids don't watch cartoons. My child don't watch cartoons. Neither. They care don't watch anything cartoonish anymore, at least now at this age. You know, so I don't mind going back and indulging in the old cartoons that I watched, but I think, bang, maybe if you throw it on, maybe, you know what I'm saying, land in the, get involved with it, you know what I'm saying? Who knows? I want to ask him when he put his headphones back on. Is that going to be a reason why? Oh, can you hear me? Is that going to be a reason why you hopefully maybe they'll catch on and try to, like, you know, sit and watch?
Yeah, man, kids don't watch cartoons no more, fam. Or if they watch cartoons, it be cartoons on YouTube that be explicit as hell.
Is the cartoon quality the same as it was back when, like, my age? Like, I want to watch, like, if I, like, the cartoons I grew up on, like, I grew up on Doug.
Yep.
Rugrats, Hey Arnold. Yep. Like, all of the classic Nickelodeon, you know what I'm saying? And then you want to switch to, like, Looney Tunes and, like, you know what I'm saying?
So,
like, all of that. I watched all of that.
So Doug used to be on Paramount Plus. They took it off. Like all those Nickelodeon cartoons used to be. I was in here at one point watching Doug. Like, this shit was new television.
Yes,
and
sir.
You know, and thinking about this, I actually did a rewatch on some of these episodes. And I saw somebody have a podcast talking about it.
Yeah.
Boy, I watched the first episode, the first season of Guts. I watched. What? The first season of Nickelodeon Guts when it was on Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there like jealous. I was extremely jealous watching those episodes because I'm sitting there like, man, I always wanted to go to Universal Studios Florida and stand in that line and hopefully be on an episode of Guts.
And they poured a Witches the Slime on you.
Man, that Legends of the Hidden Temple.
For sure.
Double Dare. Mm-hmm. They need to put that back on Paramount Plus. I will watch that now. And I will show my kids. Because here's the thing. I tried to get Trey to watch some of this shit with me, and Trey was looking at me like I was some damn lame. However, you go on YouTube and you watching the same episodes of the same dude, like, nah, fam. Like, YouTube has killed television, because now we can't sit up there. Like, we know we got YouTube TV, and I love YouTube TV, but as far as YouTube, you got cartoons, old cartoons mixed with cartoons of old dudes or corny dudes taking the cartoons of our day and have cussing and everything behind it. Now your kids 6-7 years old they think they watching Sonic the Hedgehog, but now Sonic cussing and telling girls like, yo, I'm gonna go ahead and holler at you after I go beat Dr. Robotnik and everything, and then we gonna go back here and all of this stuff. Like, they have made cartoons freak nasty.
Did Trey or Landon like have any interest in the Super Mario, like the movie? No. Where they got the movie? They really
very disappointing, Mike.
Wow,
very disappointing.
I took Nakia to see the first Super Mario. She loved it. They haven't gone to see the second one yet, but
we ain't go see the second one yet either. But like stuff like that, like the movie and stuff.
Yeah.
Landon loves the movie. He loves Mario Brothers, and we'll probably end up going to see it this weekend.
Okay.
But if you were to say, yo, let's watch the Mario Brothers cartoon,
they're going to be like, nah.
I'm straight. He loves Sonic. They love Sonic.
Okay.
You say, hey, let's watch this Sonic cartoon. I'm talking about the OG version. I'm talking about even going to the joint that's on Netflix. Nope. I want to watch Sonic and Friends. They doing some crazy stuff over there. I want to go do that. Yo, let's watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Look, Joe, they done screwed that up.
Yeah.
Brian brought it up and he said they fucked it up on YouTube.
Joe,
like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is completely, didn't they have like a, were they supposed to come out with another Teenage Mutant?
Yes.
And they scrapped it?
I think they scrapped it, but they had, Mike, I and maybe it's just the old me, the OG me and everything, but I don't remember my mom and my dad looking at the cartoons we was watching and be like, yo, this ain't like the Flintstones. Like, I don't think this ain't like the, and, oh, you know, the Jetsons was only one season.
Boy, you know what? I watched the Jetsons, but I never paid attention to that being one season though.
Fam, the Jetsons was only one season.
How many episodes in that season?
Like, I want to say 20. Yeah, last running was Scrubs. You know a cartoon that I used to, because now we went off on a good-ass tangent on just cartoons we could watch. You know a cartoon that I was looking for and couldn't find, and hopefully somebody find it because I want to rewatch that?
It's like three seasons for the Jetsons.
It said one for the joint. Maybe it is. Maybe, I don't know. But
I see three seasons. Well, the first season, the Jetsons got, first season was 24 episodes.
Okay.
The second season had 41 episodes.
Maybe they didn't put all of the season on there at that time, but I went to
third season had 10 episodes.
Okay, so they had 50 episodes around, that's cool. All right, good. I'll try to watch all of that shit where they got it, because they only said one. But have you ever heard of the anime cartoon Ronin Warriors?
So, look, I've heard about anime or whatever. I see anime as a thing.
Fam, I'm not watching all of that shit. And come to find out, you did watch the anime before.
Ain't that like the new, the new cartoon? Can't you say it's the new cartoon?
No, it's not.
Has anime been out for?
Anime's been out forever, like Japanese animes. And a lot of cartoons that you might watch might not necessarily be Japanese anime, but they were created in anime form. The Boondocks is a cartoon that's actually an anime cartoon. See, I'm getting my nerd on right here. Learn this. Right? That's actually an anime. It's actually created in anime. But yeah, it's a cartoon.
I get what you say. I got it.
But it was a cartoon called Ronin Warriors. Mm-mm. Oh my God, I used to love that goddamn cartoon. And it disappeared. That's the one thing that I learned in finding cartoons and shit. Like, and that's probably the beauty of media in general. We didn't get the word that this was canceled. This ain't coming back on. You just turned on the TV and that shit didn't come on no more. There's a number of cartoons in my lifetime that just didn't come on. And then they was like, there's a new, it's the new Saturday morning lineup. And you like, how the fuck X-Men that? After X-Men don't come? Like, they didn't say X-Men was canceled when we was shorty. It just didn't come back on no more. They had their whole Marvel pack when it was X-Men and Spider-Man. And then after that, go off as wrestling. That was probably the most perfect, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours of programming ever. I think, no, they was 30 minutes. Yeah. So that was the best, that was the best 2 hours of programming that I can remember. X-Men, Spider-Man, WWF Superstars, then go outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Watch those two. Go outside. If you want to watch all them other cartoons that come on, do so. But you got to watch X-Men, you got to watch Spider-Man, and you got to watch WWF Superstars, and you got to go outside and talk about it. Then it was just one day that it was like American Gladiators came on at the time slot.
And at that time, you don't understand what the word canceled mean. They're like, it's canceled. You're thinking like, okay, what does that mean exactly? Or like, well, it's kind of like, you didn't understand at that time, like why the show didn't come on. It just was gone.
Like, why am I watching Gladiators in England? Like, why am I watching the English version of American Gladiators? Why is this dude not Gemini?
Yeah.
Like, and there's two scoops. I know who that is, but who is this person over here? So with Doug and all of those other cartoons on Nickelodeon, they just went away. It wasn't like this is the series finale.
Right.
So I want to be able to go back and watch a number of those joints. Y'all definitely hit us and let us know what are some of those joints that you wouldn't mind rewatching, because I know we went on a tangent on cartoons, but no, shout out to Columbia House was the original streamer. It was the original streamer because your mom would buy the season episodes of some shit like The Honeymooners,
right,
or I Love Lucy, because that's what my mom did. And next thing you know, you and your cousins in the house watching episodes of The Honeymooners, and you feeling old because you know who Jackie Gleason is and Art Carney, and all your homies like, who the fuck? That's why I said the other day, I was looking off the porch. I didn't necessarily jump off, because you jump off the porch and you talking about some yo shit. I'm about to go back in the crib and watch The Honeymooners. Then all of a sudden, folks be like, you're lame. And yes, Camp Candy. Yes, B. Camp Candy was a dope cartoon. I actually saw, and Brian, I don't think Mike's seen some of these episodes. Well, not episodes, and I know you ain't seen Camp Candy. Camp Candy was a great cartoon. Have you watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? See, you tripping. John Candy. Ryan Reynolds did a documentary on John Candy, and I did not watch it yet. I have not watched it yet. But Ryan Reynolds, you know, Deadpool and all of that, he did a documentary on John Candy. Have not watched it yet. But John Candy is definitely on one of my lists of one of the greatest white people of all time. John Candy gave us Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Who's Harry Crumb, and his appearance in Home Alone.
Okay.
If you want to throw in Spaceballs too. But John Candy is, to me, one of the greatest white men of all time, one of the funniest white men of all time. And when that man passed away, I was like, damn, because he was really starting to get into it and everything. And him passing away, I would recommend damn near anything that John Candy is in. And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of my favorite holiday movies. When people say, is there a movie for Thanksgiving? The first movie I bring up is Hell Yeah, because Steve Martin and John Candy was trying to get back to the crib for Thanksgiving for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but John Candy's wife passed away, and I won't get into the rest of the movie because I want Mike to do some homework. See, that go homework for you. I love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Steve Martin and John Candy in a prime. And Steve Martin is also one of the greatest white people of all time. I clap it up for y'all. Thank you for making me laugh during my time. All right, let's move on. Media beefs, Mike.
Yeah.
Media beefs. Stephen A. versus all the
everybody.
Like Stephen A. versus All the Smoke. Stephen A. versus Jason Whitlock. Michelle Beadle still don't like Stephen A. Smith. Ryan Clark and Cam Newton over Cam Newton having Jason Whitlock on his podcast, and he says some stuff about Stephen A. at the end. I don't think Ryan Clark realized that Jason Whitlock said some crazy shit to Cam Newton too. Then you got basketball podcasters that don't like each other and everything can be mad because they be like, yo, I bust your ass on the court. You ain't bust my ass on the court. And then they start to get personal and all of that. What are your thoughts on the media beef?
Anytime I see, I always think my first reaction to media beefs and like All the Smoke versus this, I'll be like, how did we get here? That's always my first reaction. Like, what did I miss that got us in this scenario right here? And it's always funny when Stephen A responds. It's always funny when I see Stephen A go on his own podcast, because Stephen A turns into a different person from First Take to the Stephen A show. Stephen A. Smith show.
From Queens.
You turn Stephen A. from Queens. The cursing be like, when he curses you, I was like, I halfway can't take Stephen A. seriously. When he get on his podcast and he be cursing and shit. Like, I watched his reaction or a little bit, bro, with the one in response to Matt Barnes. And I was just like, bruh, can't we all just get along, fam? Like, how did we get here? That is always my first reaction. But yes, it has seemed to have gotten, it's getting more out of control now, with like everybody has an issue with a certain take about certain things. You know what? When Cam Newton was beefing with everybody, with Gilly, and you know what I'm saying, beefing with Ryan Clark, and he was using it on his platform, and that he was dissing people. Like, anytime Gilly said something about, you know, Cam Newton came with a great response on 4th and 1, you know what I'm saying, made great videos, good edits, you know what I'm saying, where he was kind of like poking fun at Gilly. And, you know, I love the one where he went at Ryan Clark and all the stuff like that. So I enjoy when Cam Newton kind of like brings in the comedy and the jokes and the special effects and shit like that with it. You know what I'm saying? I always find that amusing, so I'm always cool with that. But like, now it's just getting, it's not even joking no more. These guys are serious, like legit cursing out each other on their platforms. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it might come to a point where if they see each other face to face, they might throw hands.
I mean, they ain't gonna fight, Mike.
You said ain't fighting.
Ain't nobody gonna fight. All this is like NBA tussling. Ain't nobody gonna fight. Ain't no Isaiah Stewart in this.
But situation. I mean, obviously, you know what I'm saying? And it gets engagement on their platforms and shit like that. So obviously, I'm pretty sure they don't mind all of that. And it brings heavy traffic. And you know what I'm saying? People are gonna discuss it. But yeah, man, it's getting way, way out of hand now, man. Like, everybody got an issue with a take from somebody on their own platform, or they, you know. So, like, I don't know, bang. It's getting crazy. Where you at with it?
Man, this is lame. Media beef is huff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is huff. Media beef. Because, one, as y'all heard me say on this pod, like, I'm good on the debate shit and everything.
Yeah.
My thing is if it's personal, get on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets to a point where it's personal, get on the phone and have a conversation with folks. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if Mike Wilbon ever had an issue with Chris Berman. I don't know if James Brown ever had an issue with Kurt Benefit. I don't know if Dan Marino ever had an issue with Terry Bradshaw that they was beefing on air.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not meant for us to know. It's not meant for us to know if John Madden and Pat Summerall had beef with the folks on CBS. when they moved to Fox. Some stuff is just not meant for us to know.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you got a microphone, that don't mean you got to bring the beef.
But that's the reason why it's so easier now for these guys to actually express that they have an issue, because they can use their own platform, because those guys are not going to go on their network television show where they, you know what I'm saying, before.
Yeah.
Or, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, fuck CBS. But see,
that's the issue that I have. Right. Because if you want to say bump the network, that's cool. But when you start bringing your personal feelings to somebody from the air,
yeah,
then that's what I'm like, yo, if you don't, I don't, what these media people, especially some of these athlete-driven media people now, got to understand that people don't necessarily care about your take. They care about your beef. They don't care about your take at a certain point. Now they tuning in to see who you beefing with.
Mm-hmm.
What sports media is starting to look like is Love and Hip Hop.
Yep.
It's starting to look like reality shows. And like Stephen A. and Jason Whitlock. I don't know anybody in media that likes Jason Whitlock. That episode, they didn't care anything about what Stephen A. Smith said. They cared about him talking shit about Jason Whitlock.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Barnes. When Matt Barnes said what he said, they went straight to Stephen A. to see what his response was going to be. The one thing that I hate that Stephen A. Smith does right now at this point is, I'll come on your platform, or you could come on mine, and I could debate it. No, fam, this ain't a debating point. Like, at a certain point, when you disrespect me, it's not a debate. It's a real-life conversation that we need to have. Once you say, and this is, I love All the Smoke. I love what Matt Barnes specifically be doing on All the Smoke. But the minute Matt Barnes said, Stephen A. tap dancing, see, tap dancing is a fight word to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That when you start saying I'm tap dancing for white people,
it's personal
That's personal now.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't not gonna have a debate. We're gonna have a conversation, because now you're putting it out there in the ecosystem and I'm tap dancing for white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things go left for me, because people get on these mics and think that they can say these things. And I said this before, I said it on this episode, on this show, and I'll say it again. People got to understand words mean something at the end of the day. And if you say something, you better stand on it when I see you. So when you start saying tap dancing and things about that, like doing that, that's when you do a little bit too much. If you disagree with a take, disagree with the take. But what's killing me with a lot of these media folks that is
everybody going below the belt. Everybody going below the belt.
Below the belt, and they going below the belt because they know more people are going to tune in. And I'm sorry, it turns me off. It turns me off when it comes to looking at these people that I really be wanting to find out what their take is, what their analyst is on certain things. But when it comes to sports, when it comes to basketball, when it comes to football, or hell, now, because I'm getting a little bit back into it, baseball. I'm not looking for you to be like, yo, I hate this person.
Yeah.
I don't like this person. Ryan Clark. I disagree with Ryan Clark a bit how he handled the Cam Newton situation, because in my opinion, yeah, it's a lot of people that Stephen A. be having on this show where I'm like, if he's bringing in whatever, I'll bring in whatever. But again, when I look at 4 for 1, I'm looking at 4 for 1 to see Cam's takes and how he brings in. I'm going to go look at the opposite to see whatever somebody else did.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at this content to say anybody's right or anybody's wrong. I'm looking at it to just see their take and really bring all of that in. When we get to a point where everybody in media especially all of the black folks in media, feel like they got a beef with somebody and they got to go on their platform to say, I got a beef with somebody. And now they're going back and forth. It takes away from the reason why I started watching you in the first place. Man, I missed the days when I didn't know everybody else's business. And damn, I missed the days when I didn't know everybody was beefing. James Brown could have very well been like, man, shit. That Chris Berman, he don't be really doing shit but making nicknames and shit. And Chris Berman could be over there like, James, that line that he got. Huh. But that's off the camera. That's in the makeup room. Go take that shit back to the makeup room. Yeah. You know what show I love outside of like local sports radio? Outside of local sports radio, the show that I love the most is Get Up. Hey, we about to talk about what's going on. Ain't no beefing. We gonna disagree or agree and all that stuff. Greeny ass be in the middle looking awkward sometimes. And I love when it's Cultural Wednesdays. I love when I see Ryan Clark and Dominique Foxworth and Big Swagoo on there and everything. And they start talking cultural and Greeny just be looking around and be like, I don't know what they talking about, but this shit sounds good. I love Get Up.
Yeah,
and I will have Get Up going on at the same time as Cap'n J Hood, for an example.
Yeah,
but when I get on YouTube and I see some of these cats talking on YouTube, and that was, yo, I got a beef with this sport.
It's a different world. Man. It's a totally different world.
I'm like, it's straight.
Once you get behind the pod, once you on your own platform and you using your own podcast mic. It's a totally different world from us watching Around the Horn or watching, you know what I'm saying, pardon the interruption. That's a beef.
Mike, before I talk about my main beef when it comes to people when they talk about ESPN, I will say this. I was definitely right behind Jay Hood when he was beefing with Chris Kent when they were talking about Kayla Williams. Like, yo, but that's the big homie. I'm going to ride for the big homie. Like, we got to go jump him. Like, we got to go jump him. He's talking about Caleb, and now he talking about the show and everything, and you got Michelle talking about some of a Green Bay Packers fan. Yo, I'm riding with the homie. But it was all, like, all right. It wasn't that. Like, Jay Hood, and I remember those episodes, and I actually had a conversation with Jay Hood about this, like, it was a disagreement with a take, and I actually agree with Jay Hood 100% when Chris Canty is calling Caleb Williams Sam Bowie. Like, you're doing stuff to get reaction because
that is crazy.
It's a crazy take. And that's why when Hood went on the radio and was like, yo, that's a dumbass take. I'm with him. Yo, we riding, cuz. We riding, big homie. Where we at? Where we at with it? He coming to Gibson's? He coming Chicago Cut? I'm there with you. Let's ride. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I even told Hood, hey, fam, like, I know you mad. I hear you on the pod. You didn't even have the sports radio voice on. Because I know when Hood be mad, and I wonder if Hood's watching. I think he might be. I love when Hood get mad. Because that Captain J Hood voice go away. And that D voice come in. He be like, yo, like, dude, wild. Over there. And I'm waiting for Jay Hood to, you know, say some of the J.R. Bang soliloquies and comments and words and stuff so I can get my credit. Shouts out to Pat the Designer. But I just don't like how all of these guys are coming at each other. Yeah. I come to y'all for y'all takes. Give me y'all takes, fam. And I hate when they be coming at folks for disagree with their takes. Say, so the fuck what? Like, Emmanuel Acho gets on my nerves.
Hey, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point, too. But when you bring up him, I feel like sometimes the platform, and this is kind of like people, they're using their
platform
and they're basing majority of their time presenting us their content to disagree with another platform's content. Yeah. Like, your show shouldn't be based off disagreeing, or like segments on your show should not be based off disagreeing with another platform's.
You know, I watched Stephen A. Smith do his straight shooter joint, and he, I guess, ended what he was going to talk about with Matt Barnes, but he said something that I thought that I didn't even think of until he said it. He said, a lot of these current athletes that have an issue with me, that have podcasts, why they don't ever bring me on their podcast if they disagree with me so much? And when he said that, I was like, damn, he got a point. Because if, and I'll just throw some names out there. If I'm Draymond Green and I'm on my podcast talking about how Stephen A said this and said that and I don't agree with him, boom, 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 I know you got his number. Bring him on and y'all had a conversation about how y'all agree or disagree. I ain't saying y'all got to come to a middle, but if you disagree with his take and you disagree so strongly, then bring him on. Do it. If y'all ain't gonna come on each other's piece of content and have this conversation about what y'all agree and disagree on, shut your ass up. Mm-hmm. If Acho not gonna go on All the Smoke or and they debate about what they talking about or they ain't gonna come on Acho's platform, then shut up. Y'all are debating and getting mad at each other and having all of these cross-platform arguments and ain't nobody coming on nobody platform to talk about why y'all agree or disagree. Basically, what y'all doing is y'all them eighth graders back in the day that was just leaning on each other's shoulder talking about some, nah, and you punch me, you swing first. No, you swing first. No, you swing first. You a bitch. No, you a bitch. You swing first. If y'all ain't gonna get on each other's platform and have that conversation about why y'all disagree with something, then just go talk about the takes that y'all got on y'all platform and shut up with all of the beef, because it's getting lame at this point. A lot of y'all in y'all platforms are being known more for being beef, for beefing with other platforms instead of the takes that y'all deliver. Because I can't remember one take that a lot of these folks throw out there, but I can say that, yo, Michelle Beadle hate Stephen A. Smith, and Stephen A. Smith hate Michelle Beadle, and Jason Whitlock hate everybody, and everybody hate Jason Whitlock, and everybody's calling Emmanuel Acho lame, and he's a clown, and his own people don't like him. But then Emmanuel Acho is like, but I got an Emmy. What you got? You ain't got shit. And then you got Ryan Clark coming in with his all of his nice gear and everything, and then he get mad because he feel like Cam Newton ain't loyal to Stephen A. Smith, and then Cam Newton like, ain't no loyalty in this game. And then Stephen A like, yes, it is some loyalty in this game and everything, so I don't know what you're talking about. Then you got the Hoopers like, yo, I crossed him over and he threw it. Like, I hate everybody.
The Hooping.
This is the takes. Chill, y'all. We don't talk about none of the takes that y'all have on the content of the sport that y'all delivering. We just see y'all argue, and that's lame.
Y'all arguing and, you know what I'm saying, having a conversation with a person that's not even in the room.
Man.
They're not there. You know what I'm saying? You're using all your energy to get your points across to some motherfuckers that has a whole nother platform. And y'all just doing it vice versa. And it's weak. And it's weak. Very weak.
Now.
The hooping beefs is the most hilarious one.
Just last.
It's all, yeah, I bust your ass. You didn't average this many points as me. Or, you know what I'm saying? I played more games than you.
I bust your ass in high school, though.
Bro, stop it.
Yeah. So here's one thing as a pivot for real quick that I hate.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. This is the one take that I hate about people. Oh, I hate watching ESPN. ESPN get on my nerves. Man, ESPN, all they do is talk about athletes. Stephen A. Smith. Fam, I'm glad that you said what you said. As I mentioned before, Get Up is my favorite show on ESPN right now. That has nothing to do with Stephen A. Smith. First take comes on right after that. Then after that, unless you go to ESPN2, first take is no longer on. Around the Horn is a Hall of Fame show. 25 years going, and I'm mad that they let go of Around the Horn. If you're basing your thoughts around ESPN on first take, you're also part of the problem. Because Marcus Spears, to me, like, how people are working with athletes. If I could work with any athlete in media right now, it would be Marcus Spears. I think when it comes to analysts, especially on the defensive side, there's no better analyst on any of these shows when it comes to the football side of it than Marcus Spears. Marcus Spears don't be dissing anybody or going after anybody. Marcus Spears do his content, go make sure his son and his daughters and all of that are okay, because all of those, like, his son is the number one player in basketball for 2027. His daughters are good at volleyball. Marcus Spears, man, just go. He's the epitome of, I got a job to do, I'm going to go do the job, and then I'm going to go home.
I'm clocking in.
Clocking in.
Handles in us. Clocking out.
If y'all could be, if you media folk, can be like any athlete that's currently on TV doing their job, be like Marcus Spears.
For sure.
And that's why if it was any athlete that I could work with, if I could be his Peggy to his Cam Newton, Pauls, because Peggy might sound bad, if I could be his sidekick, that's the person. I think we're having a credible show. But if I could work, if I could talk to any athlete in media, that's him. Because what I just said, he clocks in, he clocks out, ain't no extracurricular. In fact, I think he went in his stories and told all of these people that's athletes doing this, going back and forth, that they lame and ain't nobody going to do nothing anyway. That's the smoke that I want to hear. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on TV. I'm going to tell you why this person should be drafted. I'm going to tell you why this team going to win. I'm going home to my wife, to my son, to my daughters. Y'all keep that shit over there. I'm about to go barbecue. Call it a night. Be like Marcus Spears. Please, y'all, be more like Marcus Spears. Bulls. Before we get out of here, the Bulls. The Chicago Bulls fired. I ain't about to pronounce Arturis Conner-Sovis. Just try to pronounce that right, even though I probably did. And Mark Eversley, which I famously said on I Ain't Gonna Hold You, that I call him West Side Mark because he's everywhere but nowhere. I literally have no clue what this man did with the Bulls other than probably get somebody some exclusives on some shoes. I don't know what he did, but the front office is done. Michael Reinsdorf, the owner of the Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf's son, he did a press conference and he basically said that whoever coming in, if Billy want to be here, he going to be here. Talking about Billy Donovan. Some people like, yo, you tripping. Some people like, this ain't Billy Donovan, folks. Do you believe that the Bulls need to clean completely house completely? Do you feel that the Bulls need to clean house completely and they need to start anew and fresh with $60 million in cap and multiple first round picks possibly in this draft, depending on what happened with the Portland Trail Blazers and all of the second round picks in the world for the next two?
I was about to say
next 2 to 5 years.
I was about to say, it kind of seems like we've already went into that direction. I think once you got rid of Coby White and you got rid of Ayo Dosunmu, those are two young pieces that the Bulls could have actually built around. But, you know, you gave them away. And so I kind of already seen the rebuild, somewhat a rebuild already happening. You held on to Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey is still a young player who shows himself to have a bright future. Say we like what Josh Giddey is doing with the Bulls statistically and everything like that, you know, being a playmaker and everything like that. So it seems like he's going to be the franchise guy, along with Bouzelis. Shout out to Bouzelis. I really am a fan of Bouzelis. I really am a fan of Bouzelis.
I like Bouzelis.
For sure. but it seems like they've already gone in that direction. And, at the end of the day, man, when you really look at the Chicago Bulls, bro, the Chicago Bulls ain't been right since Lonzo Ball went down when we were the number one seed in the East. That was when everything just started going off the rails. The Chicago Bulls haven't been right since. You were looking at a team that, you know, could have possibly made a nice little run in the playoffs a deep run in the playoffs, and the franchise hasn't been right since. Billy Donovan, in his tenure with the Bulls, has one playoff appearance. And I'm a Billy Donovan fan. I like Billy Donovan. But and then they extended him. So, you know, but when you see what's going on and you put these teams on the floor for Billy, and, you know, we really haven't gotten over the hump since we were number one seed in the East. You know what I'm saying? We haven't really gotten there. And then the questions start to come. Like, is it on Billy or is it on the GM and the VP that are orchestrating these teams for Billy Donovan? Like, you're starting to ask those questions. Who gets the blame? But I feel like going in this direction with firing your GM, firing your vice president, I think you got to make the decision, and you probably need to go all in and just, you know, relieve Billy Donovan of his duties. It seems like he was already entertaining college jobs. I know Mike Malone has the job now in UNC, but there were reports that if that job was available for Billy Donovan, that he probably would have took it. I don't know how true those reports are, right. But it seems like Billy Donovan is in that space where he could be entertaining going back to, you know, the NCAA. So
that's the dead after North Carolina hired Mike.
So there's no other like positions that Billy Donovan would probably take.
Nah, Mike Malone, and from what it sounds like, he turned them down.
And okay, well, I just saw a report as well too that they said like there's going to be at least 8 to 12 head coaching jobs available in the NBA after this.
Yeah, so one of the rumors that they talked about was Orlando, and that means he would go back to Florida.
Yeah, so I can see them getting rid of Billy Donovan and maybe just want to start fresh with a whole new head coach, which I would completely understand. And I don't think Billy Donovan will have an issue getting a job in the NBA if he wants to continue coaching in the NBA. So, yeah, I feel like you should just go all the way in and, you know what I'm saying, just start from scratch and build your team around Bouzelis and Giddey. And yeah, man, and we'll see what we can get from there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Hey, we tried, though. You had Lonzo Ball. You had DeMar DeRozan. We brought in Vooch, you know what I'm saying, to be the wily vet, you know what I'm saying? And the shit just didn't work. It didn't work. And that's okay. We tried, though. I can honestly say that, you know, there was some type of light at the end of the tunnel when, you know what I'm saying, we had Lonzo Ball and Zach and DeMar, and she was looking real good. But ever since then, we can't live off that no more. It's a wrap. But I'm a Billy Donovan fan, though, but I feel like if you're going to go all in on the rebuild, get rid of Billy Donovan, too. Bring in another head coach. Let the GM, whoever you hire as your new GM, let that GM pick the coach. I think you need to do this kind of like, you know, have a little Ryan Poles moment.
Hey, man, Billy Donovan, Billy Donovan, my favorite Billy Donovan victory is when they won the first national
championship
in Florida. I can't pick one with the Bulls.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, shout out to Joakim Noah and what you call it, Al Horford. They were on that Florida team.
Yeah, Corey Brewer.
Corey Brewer, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Billy Donovan took the Thunder to the championship, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? They lost to LeBron and them, but
he was the coach.
Yeah, he was the coach of that team. I believe so, if I'm not mistaken. He wasn't the coach of that Oklahoma City Thunder team.
I don't think he was the coach of that team. That was Scott Brooks.
What year was that? What year was this? What year was that? LeBron. The Miami Heat won their first title. Yeah. The Miami won that title, first LeBron title.
I want to say that was 2015.
I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, that was Scott Brooks, man.
Okay. Well, still, nonetheless, though, man, I don't have a problem with him. He took over after. You're right.
Yeah,
right.
He took over, and then KD.
Oh, he was the coach. He was the coach of the team that dropped 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I got you.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the coach of that team, for sure. If I'm not mistaken, he was the coach of that team, for sure.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I think that was good.
That was the Western Conference Finals, 2015-2016.
I think Scott Brooks was the coach of that team that lost 3-1. Let me ask.
They went to the Western Conference Finals, Oklahoma City Thunder. That's the only time they went to the Western Conference Finals is when they dropped 3-1, right? When they were up 3-1 and they lost to the Golden State Warriors.
I think Donovan was the coach. I think that was Scott Brooks.
I'm looking at it right now.
Looking at it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I want to make sure.
Yeah, Billy Donovan was coach. But yeah,
so that last victory before they lost 3-1 was his greatest victory in the NBA, as an NBA head coach. See, I'm conflicted. And this is and
which part are you conflicted?
I'm conflicted. And my confliction is the reason why when the Seattle Supersonics are announced as the 32nd team in the NBA, I would be a full-fledged member of the fan club of the Seattle Supersonics again. I am waiting until they get their owner and they get their colors back and all of that, and Gary Payton and Sean Kemp get their jerseys retired and everything. I can't wait to Detlef Schrempf and Derek McKee and Hersey Hawkins.
Look, let me tell you something.
All of those people. Let me tell you what.
When I play NBA Jam, the Seattle Supersonics was the team I used. Sean Kemp and Detlef Schrempf on NBA Jam? Stop playing with me, bro. Stop playing with me.
So just know that my Bulls fandom ends as soon as the Seattle Supersonics do the expansion draft. Great. I'm telling y'all, if anybody knows me, I've been a Seattle Supersonics fan since 1993. And I wasn't one of those, the Bulls is my Eastern Conference team and the Supersonics is my Western Conference team. I got my ass beat over being a Seattle Supersonics fan. I argue people up and down about Gary Payton. When they lost to the Bulls in 1996, I was the only person in Chicago sad, unless you bet it that night on the Seattle Supersonics, sending it to 7 games. I am a Seattle Supersonics fan. I love that team. And when it is official and they have the expansion draft and all of that, I am a full-fledged member of the fan club of the Seattle Supersonics. With that being said, man, the Bulls got to do something. I forget Adam Silver. This is why I am so sad that David Stern is no longer with us. David Stern wouldn't allow the Bulls to be this terrible. David Stern would have had a conversation with somebody like, look, we're going to take care of this. We're going to get y'all this lottery pick. But y'all got to make sure this shit shake, because this is bullshit what's going on. Y'all the third biggest market in Chicago, and this is what we got going on? Hey, y'all make this shake. Bob Myers, I need you to go over to Chicago and fix all of this. I need Bob. You got to go to Chicago. But Bob Myers, you got to go to Chicago. Save this franchise. Go eat at Chicago Cut for free for the rest of your life, because you're going to bring joy back to the Chicago fans for the Bulls who love this. But let me ask you this question. And this is why I think this right now is the most important time for the Chicago Bulls franchise. What is your legacy without Michael Jordan?
It can't just be Derrick Rose. I think that's, I mean, it feels like everybody brings that up. Like, you know, yeah, we out here living off Derrick Rose's time in Chicago. Obviously, shout out to Derrick Rose getting his jersey retired and everything like that. But the legacy, other than Michael Jordan, the legacy can't just be Derrick Rose's time here.
I think that the Chicago Bulls organization have to really look themselves in the eye and say that we have no legacy without Michael Jordan. We have no legacy with those 6 rings. Go look at the Golden State Warriors. Go look at the San Antonio Spurs. These are 2 organizations that have won at least four rings, if you count the Golden State Warriors winning the championship with Rick Barry. So you're talking about an organization that has 5 championships or more outside of the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. It is San Antonio, it's Golden State, it's the Bulls. Out of all of those teams, only one of those teams are not relevant, and that is the Chicago Bulls. And it's going to get to a point that people really realize that the Bulls are nothing without the 6 rings that Michael Jordan gave them.
That's very bad.
is no legacy without Michael Jordan. And that is bad for somebody who's not been in a Bulls uniform since 1998. And yeah, we could say, but Derrick Rose, but that legacy with Derrick Rose also involves a torn ACL during the year that people really thought that the Bulls had a chance to go to the NBA Finals. So that ain't necessarily the legacy you want to have. The Chicago Bulls legacy begins and ends with Michael Jordan. Nobody talks about Artis Gilmore, Bob Love, Norm Van Leer, Jerry Sloan. They don't talk about those teams because those teams didn't win anything. Those teams got as close to a Western Conference Final in a smaller league. The legacy of the Chicago Bulls begins and ends with Michael Jordan, and right now you are going in the direction that you are going to become an irrelevant franchise. The Charlotte Hornets are more relevant than you right now.
A team that Michael Jordan used to own. And they got relevant after he sold the team.
Charlotte Hornets are more relevant than the Chicago Bulls on the court right now.
That is sad.
That is insane, Mike. And there's going to come a point where people are going to start getting louder and say, yo, what are y'all without Michael Jordan? So to me, this right here with 60 mil in cap room, multiple first round picks, and all of the second round picks in the world for the next 10 years. This is the most important offseason for the Chicago Bulls. If they don't get this right, they will be irrelevant. Not just to the NBA. When the Chicago Bulls are looking up at the Chicago Bears that has Caleb Williams, looking at the Blackhawks who ain't where they want to be, but you got Connor Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
You got the White Sox who got old dudes from Japan.
And Colson Montgomery.
And Colson Montgomery, and they got the number one pick in this MLB draft, and they're talking about dude that they're talking about picking is the best shortstop prospect in years. And then you got the Cubs. Fam, when is the last time that you said that Chicago Bulls was the lowest team on the totem pole?
That's been a while, bro.
They are irrelevant in their own home city. And the reason why people still pack the United Center because of that Jumpman statue outside. But that's getting old, fam. We getting old, and these younger kids is like, yo, who's this on the Bulls?
Let me ask you this, though, Bang. So before we get out of here, what kind of move do the Bulls have to take going into free agency? Are we looking to like draft really well and start from scratch, or are you trying to bust a move right now? Like, or maybe a combination of both. What is it that you could possibly do?
They need to get a basketball czar that's going to oversee all basketball operations without Michael Reinsdorf getting in the way. If they love Billy Donovan, that's cool. If they don't, then he got to go. Because the thing is I can't even tell you who should be able to coach the Bulls right now. I don't know. But they need to find somebody that's going to oversee basketball operations. And that person that comes into this organization, they answer to nobody. They take this thing over. The Bulls got $60 million in cap room, and they got two first-round picks. If the Portland Trail Blazers makes it to the playoffs, they will have two first-round picks. They need to hope and pray that they get that lottery. They hit that lottery. The Bulls need to hope and pray that they hit the lottery and get the number one pick. I think they got like a 4.5% chance of getting the number one pick. They need to pray to the basketball gods, Jesus, God, Allah, Buddha. They need to pray to every god that they can that they get that number one pick so they can have a chance to get one of these superstars that they predict to be generational talents in this upcoming draft. Do that. But first, find a general manager that's going to lead this team to the 21st century, settle in on a coach, and get an identity. That's a lot.
They say we still living in 98. It's crazy.
They still living in 98 like the Bears was living in 85, 86 for a while.
Yeah.
Like it was, I'll end it with this. I saw somebody put something up on social media, said, that I ain't seen one team live off of one championship like the Boston Celtics. And I saw that and I was like, shit, the Chicago Bears in 1985, 86 got something to say because they still living off that one championship. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen an organization live off of one player the way that the Chicago Bulls live off of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Michael Jordan won more tournaments in goddamn NASCAR.
My man's been moved on, baby. He out here getting NASCAR titles now. Okay. He's suing NASCAR. He out here winning and he winning and he's winning. NASCAR.
He's moved on, y'all. Yeah, of course, he's moved on. We need to find something new. Because right now, y'all still living off Mike. And Mike know it. The NBA know it. Fans are really realizing it. There's no legacy with the Bulls without Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Without them six rings, we are nothing. So before you end up irrelevant like the Washington Wizards, the Orlando Magic, some of these other teams, you get it. You got to fix it. You got to fix it soon or else we're going to forget about you like they forgot about the Chicago Sting, the Chicago Wolves. And some of these other pro franchises that's no longer around no more. The Bears are ahead of you. The Blackhawks are ahead of you. The Sox and Cubs are ahead of you. Where you at? Get back. Fight back. And pray that David Stern come talk to Adam Silver and say, hey, this is what you need to do, fam. Go rig it. We need the third biggest market in the NBA to get the number one pick again. They did right by Derrick Rose. Let's do the same thing like we did with the Dallas Mavericks. Any hot takes?
Nah, man, I ain't got nothing, man. We said everything we needed to say here, man. I think we
could. Well, close us out, Jack.
Some Dude Pod, red light, subscribe. The Barbershare Network is where you can find Some Dude Pod on all your favorite platforms where you listen to your favorite podcasts at. That's where Some Dude Pod is at. Facebook page, hashtag Some Dude Pod. IG at Some Dude Pod, at Mike B underscore CHR, at JR Bang. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. We out here.
Somebody tell Marcus Spears to call me.
For sure.
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is Some Podcast. We out. Peace.